We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Darius Miller.
This is Drew Hardy.
This is Lance Thomas, Tyree Gavin.
Jason Smith.
Anthony Davis from the Wolves Pelicans.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to In the Know.
In the Know.
The Bourbon Street Shots.
Bourbon Street Shots podcast.
All Pelicans, all the time.
Welcome to the show. This is, of course, a continuation of our previous podcast, our Western Conference preview, which we covered the six teams we thought were the least likely to be in the mix for the playoffs. And now we will continue with the rest of the Western Conference.
All right. So now we're entering the New Orleans Pelicans last year territory. So do you have the New Orleans Pelicans as the eighth seed?
No, I have them higher than the eighth, and
actually, we're still in the ninth seed. I'm jumping.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Now we get into the teams where we either got to put the Pelicans here at nine or drop one of the playoff teams from last year out.
Yep.
If the Pelicans are going to be in, and I have the Pelicans in the playoffs, so I do have one of last year's playoff teams on the outside looking in.
All right, so let me just say this really quick. See if you agree with this. Do you have a top three teams that are clearly the top three teams in the West?
I did prior to the Durant injury, and I'm assuming he's going to come back and be fine. So, yeah, I still do. But that injury scares me a little bit. But, yeah, I have a three, and then I have a middle tier of eight, and then a bottom tier of four.
Okay. So, right. So the Memphis Grizzlies, Rockets, Warriors, Pelicans, Mavericks, Trailblazers, those guys are all, you know, right there in the middle. Hard time figuring out where they're going to fall. This is the team that I have falling out of the playoffs. Let's see if you agree. I say the Trailblazers fall out.
No, it was between the Trailblazers and the team that I wound up. I have the Trailblazers eighth, but no, there was another team for me. So why do you have the Trailblazers falling out?
So I can just point to one primary thing about the Portland Trailblazers. Well, she has two, but the primary one is last season, of their five starters, they missed a grand total of nine basketball games last year.
And it was all in one stretch, and it was all one guy, so they never had to reconfigure any lineups or play together any differently. Just one guy went out for nine games. Everybody else got to play together all season.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's crazy how much this team got to gel and work together. And I got to say right now, that's not happening again. It's just not. That doesn't ever happen in the NBA.
A Blazer fan will tell you, but CJ McCollum missed a lot of games, so we're going to get him this year. And we got Chris Kaman, so we upgraded, even if those guys do get injured a couple more games.
So Chris Kaman, maybe an upgrade over Myers Leonard. Maybe. Actually, no, that's mean to Chris Kamen. Myers Leonard's pretty bad. But Chris Kamen is not an impact player. Let's just change it that way. You can replace Myers Leonard or Joel Freeland or Thomas Robinson's minutes with Chris Kamen's minutes, and it's not like suddenly you're putting in a guy who's going to add wins to your team. You might be adding in a guy who isn't going to make as many negative plays, but not many more. And he has been somewhat toxic in the locker room the past few years. So good luck with that. But this team, not only do they have unbelievable health last year, but they had like a stretch at the beginning where they were just their threes. If you go back and look at it, their 3-point percentage was something close to 50% for like the first 30 games of the season. That doesn't happen. That's just dumb luck. That's fluke. And while they got some great shooters and they're probably going to have a really nice 3-point percentage over the course of the season this year too, they're not going to have that stretch. And the rest of the season, they only I think they were like 32 and 26. They weren't amazing. So I don't know. I'm not, I think Portland is the most likely team to fall out. Got any reasons why they wouldn't be the most likely team to fall out?
Yeah, I got one other team. I mean, like I said, I struggled between these two teams and which one would fall out. I think I chose the team I chose just because they were a little older and, you know, they had some coaching issues in the off season. But I mean, I have two teams that I think could definitely fall out, and one that I picked to fall out was the Memphis Grizzlies.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, people forget how close Dave Yeager was to being the coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, that was a really weird situation where his owner got on Twitter and his owner was challenging, you know, his own players to games of one-on-one, and Yeager didn't like that. And then, you know, the owner lets Yeager go out and look for a contract from Minnesota, and then all of a sudden, last minute, brings him back. But, you know, Randolph is getting up there in years, and, you know, Marc Gasol is a free agent at the end of this year, and I think if he gets any kind of injury, I think he's less likely to play through it. We saw him miss some games last year. I like the Vince Carter signing, but again, what is he? He's 38, and you still got Tayshaun Prince getting minutes. You still got a questionable shooting guard. I mean, really, they've done it with tremendous defense over the last couple of years, but I don't think that their defense is that elite anymore, and I think, you know, I just don't see where they're going to get their explosive scoring from. I think, I don't know. I think this is the team most likely out of the playoffs, and maybe it's just because how well the Pelicans match up with them. I mean, they should have went 4-0 against them last year, if not for, you know, a Memphis comeback in the final game. I think eventually, you know, this is, we see it a lot. We see an older team get 50 wins every year until eventually they don't. I think this is the year that Memphis just fades out. They lose Gasol in the summer, and they're rebuilding this time next year.
Wow. I have the Grizzlies actually fairly high on my list, so we'll get to them a little later. And so I won't tell you about why I have them so high on my list until we get to them. We'll move on to the next team I have on my list. See who you've got as the 8 seed. I am going with the Dallas Mavericks. And just like the entire Western Conference, the Dallas Mavericks are a team that I have a really hard time settling on where they're going to fall. Because everybody's focusing on the fact that they got better, like their acquisitions that are positive. They say, well, Tyson Chandler's better than D'Alembert, so better. They went out and got Chandler Parsons, who's better than Vince Carter, so better. Al-Farouq Aminu can really rebound, so they're better. And, you know, they brought in Richard Jefferson, and he can shoot for them and easily place Sean Marion. And everything that Jameer Nelson is there now, and he can easily cushion the loss of Jose Calderon. So this team is better. But I don't, and of course, And in some respects, I actually have a hard time betting against this guy. They say Rick Carlisle is going to turn this team into magic and make all these guys be able to go to their positive, you know, their positives and minimize their negatives. And Rick Carlisle may be one of the best coaches in the league at doing that, but I don't look at this team and say better. I look at this team and say about the same, because Tyson Chandler, he's been injured a lot recently. If you watched him in New York last year, he's probably going to have a bounce back year from that, but he wasn't great. He was kind of mediocre. And, you know, Chandler Parsons, actually go look at his numbers. Don't think of the Chandler Parsons as there's like this still prevailing idea that Chandler Parsons is amazing. Well, he was amazing when he was making $1 million a year. Now he's making $15 million a year. So let's just take a step back and forget about how much money he's making and actually look at his numbers. And he's almost average across the board for a small forward. He's a little high on assists. That's it for a small forward. We're not talking about like a game changer. We're talking about a 16 PER. And he's not a massive plus-minus guy at all. So they didn't replace Sean Marion, who was always a plus-minus master, and Vince Carter with amazing. They replaced him with, meh. And he's 25. Maybe he'll get a little bit better, but not a lot better. So I go up and down the list, and I'm not amazed by this. And Raymond Felton and Jameer Nelson is supposed to be better or equal to Jose Calderon? There's no way you're telling me Raymond Felton's better than a mannequin. So I don't know. I think they're going to be about the same they were last year and maybe a little worse.
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, if it was just rosters, I would agree. But kind of going back to what you said at the beginning, all these teams were so closely bunched together that coaches became a big factor. I mean, like I said, that's why I had Memphis out of the playoffs. I think at some point that could stir up again, and maybe that whole situation implodes if, you know, the owner starts running off his mouth. With Dallas, you know, I look at Carlisle, and out of these middle teams, he's the best coach. So with everything being so close, I have Dallas fourth in the West. I have them way higher.
Wow.
But I could also see them not. I mean, to me, this is the team that's teetering the most. It's just I really couldn't get into the situation of trying to predict injuries, because that's a fool's game. But I think this is the team that of all of them is one or two injuries in the right spot away from just being absolutely decimated. If you take away Dirk or if you take away Chandler, I don't really know what they're going to do if either of those guys miss long stretches of time. So I have them there just because I'm not going to try to predict injuries. I'm just going to assume everybody, you know, all the injuries are shut off, everybody stays healthy. And with these teams being so close together, I believe in Carlisle more than any of the other coaches in this middle ring. So I have them a lot higher than you do.
Okay. I'm going to keep moving. I know you have a different 8 seed than I do then, but I'm going to keep moving up. Do you want to tell me who your 8 seed is, or you want to surprise me later when I call out the team?
Well, I mean, we've already talked about my 8 seed is Portland.
Okay. You're right. Portland's your 8 seed. So 7th seed. We're going to go on to 7th seed, and do you want to guess who my 7th seed is?
I think it's going to be the Pelicans.
Yep. I got the New Orleans Pelicans as the 7th seed in the Western Conference. I am a firm believer that this defense will actually jump up to about where you were talking earlier, somewhere around 12-13 range, and their offense is going to be top 5, and I think that is a recipe for a team probably winning about 50 games. And the number one thing is, like, I believed in Anthony Davis. I thought Anthony Davis was going to continue to be great. I think this year he explodes. I think this year is going to be a joy to watch. I think Anthony Davis is going to tear some shit up.
I mean, if you really believe that, is there any chance Because remember, if we would have had a podcast previewing the 2007-2008 season, we would have given a 0% chance to the Pelicans being one of the top two teams in the Western Conference.
Sure.
Like, it would have been beyond the scope. We thought Chris Paul was good, but he had, you know, what Bill Simmons wrote was arguably, you know, one of the best, if not the best, seasons from a point guard ever. And if that really does happen, what is the absolute ceiling for the Pelicans? I mean, Anthony Davis is a year or two ahead of schedule, and he's legitimately in the real MVP talk. What is the ceiling for the Pelicans?
Probably around 56, 57 wins. And probably fighting right there for the 2-3 seed.
So that's the ceiling. So you have them. You have them at 7. What, I mean, I guess, let me ask you this. Is there any team that comes into New Orleans, if both teams are fully healthy, that you think the Pelicans should be the underdogs from the Western Conference?
San Antonio.
But is that it?
That's it.
And then how?
Let me qualify that. If the Pelicans players are playing up to their potential, like playing where I think they could be, only San Antonio, I think, should be able to come in and smack around the Pelicans.
What about, and this is something I remember from the 2007-08 season, is, you know, when we went on the road and won in Dallas or won in San Antonio, like those were regular season wins that got me as giddy as any playoff win. What about going on the road? What are games that if the Pelicans go on the road against a Western Conference team, you know, you'll really be giddy about and surprised that they win?
Clippers. Golden State Warriors. They have a great home arena. And, of course, San Antonio is always going to be there. So.
San Antonio again. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, see, I don't think of them as like a monster home team, so I don't give them like an additional edge. And OKC's got to be completely healthy for them to start making me a little worried about them again. They've got some holes in their roster. So I don't know. If the Pelicans could put it all together and figure this out, the ceiling could be pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing, so the 2007-2008 Pelicans team, what do you think their record was against teams that were 500 and above? And I'll give you a clue. They played, let me do the quick math. They played 46 games against 500 plus teams. What do you think their record was?
I would bet it's probably 23-23.
Okay. I mean, close, 24-22. But yeah, I mean, they
got to feast on those crappy teams.
They went out and they went 32-4 against the below 500 teams. Mm-hmm. And my only thing with this Pelicans team is that keeps me from getting super optimistic is I don't know if this team has that. Chris Paul was rip your guts out. David West was, you know, a tough minded guy, and you know, there would be times where they would get up on teams, especially at home, and they would just keep pushing. Peja would just, you know, be able to put nails in coffins, and they would win games by, you know, 20 or 30. I don't know if this team has that kind of, I guess, focus that pretty much came singularly from Chris Paul in that season in which, you know, he refused to let them lose to teams that were worse than them. I remember too many times last year where they would just get caught taking a night off against a team that honestly, you know, they were better than. I don't know, you know, some of the guys, the personnel, I don't know if Tyreek, Drew, you know, if those guys have that kind of personality, it's going to have to come from Anthony Davis. He's going to have to be super vocal, super competitive, and that's going to have to become infectious, because I really think that's what carried that Hornets team to that record, and you've got to destroy those Eastern Conference teams. You've got to, you know, beat up on all of the lower level West teams, you know, to really be able to have that kind of 50 plus win record, and that's what the other good teams in the West are going to do.
Yeah. So did you have them at 7?
No, I did not.
You had them higher.
I did. My number 7 team was, surprisingly, the Houston Rockets.
Okay.
It's just a feel thing to me. I feel like there's something that's kind of going to break. And, I mean, there's still the 7 team in the West, and it's not going to completely. But the fact that James Harden and Dwight Howard went out of their way after Parsons left to say, hey, we're the stars. Everybody else is replaceable and a role player. I don't know how does that sit in a locker room? You know, the fact that they lost Parsons and they replaced him with a guy who had a career year, a contract year, and we saw what happened to Ariza after those years. In the past, you know, the fact that I think Dwight Howard now is going to want a bigger role, and it sounds like guys don't really like playing with either Harden or Howard. I also feel like Kevin McHale, like, I wouldn't be shocked if in the season Kevin McHale is fired.
Yeah.
Like, I could just see, like, I think if they get off to a good start, they could avoid all of this and maybe it washes over. I could see them getting off to a rough start and all of a sudden you're hearing stuff coming out of the locker room and then McHale's job's on the line. And then I could just see things kind of breaking the wrong way for this team. And, you know, I don't think that they have that much more talent than other teams.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically it's Howard and it's Harden and Ariza's, if he's playing for a contract, I'm still not certain what kind of Ariza you're going to see out there. If he's going to be an Ariza who can actually hit three pointers or not. But, you know, he's not much better than average. And then there's a bunch of guys who are average. And they got rid of some depth. And I have the same feeling that you do. It's just, it's not only just that the two stars went out there and said, look, you know, we're the stars and you guys the role players and you don't matter. It's very obvious that was line was fed to them by the front office. So if you're in Houston at this point, if you're Terrence Jones at this point, and you had Terrence Jones actually has some pretty nice efficiency numbers, he looks pretty good. Do you feel like you have any future really in Houston?
No. And then with the Rondo rumors, he's the one of the main pieces that's, you know, involved in that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody there other than those two have to be thinking, I don't really have a chance here.
Yeah.
And that's got to prey on your mind. So I have them as my 6th seed. So I do have them higher than the Pelicans, but they're my 6th seed.
I mean, would you be – How shocked would you be if they missed the playoffs?
I wouldn't be that shocked. Well, I would be shocked because they still have probably the top two at both positions, at center and shooting guard. That should be good enough for you to make the playoffs no matter what. You really should.
They're teetering, though. I mean, they're with the Sheet gone, their backup to Dwight Howard is Joey Dorsey now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they are really – really thin there. I have no clue why they picked up Jason. I don't know why that was.
Yeah, that's weird.
But yeah, I mean, they have, I don't know. It's going to be a really curious situation, but I wouldn't be shocked. I expect them to make the playoffs, but they're not one of my cinches. Like, I hear some people talk about the Western Conference, some national people talk as if there are a couple teams that in no way are going to miss the playoffs. To me, that list is still only 3 deep for me. Houston is not on that list. I expect them to make the playoffs, but I would not at all be shocked if they missed it.
Yeah. I can't believe you haven't mentioned Costa Papanikolaou.
Look at you.
I nailed it. Nailed it.
Been working on it.
That's right. I have. I fully expect that he'll get some good minutes, and he's got a nice old man's game.
No, I saw you. You look like you had a little crush on him, and
I do have a little. He is clever and fearless, and he would never be like terrifying in any way, shape, or form. But he would be strangely effective, and I love those kind of players.
You know, over the past 3 years, clever is probably the word that I've misspelled the most.
That tells you something about your level of
clever. I always thought there was an A in it. I always spelled it like Cleaver.
So. Cleaver?
Yeah. I don't know why. It seemed like it was a longer, I don't know, some words just seem like they're longer than they're spelled, but whatever. Just wanted to throw that random fact out there. I don't misspell it anymore, but man, I used to misspell it all the time, and then when the spell check came up, I mean, I misspelled it so often, I thought the spell check was wrong, and I would get mad at it. So anyway, random fact, but yeah, I think that this is a team that, of course, if James Harden and Dwight Howard come in refocused, healthy, so on and so forth, you know, maybe we could see this team theoretically could have the potential to take off. Maybe they take some of those assets and make a really shrewd trade, and who knows, maybe they're second or third and we're looking stupid at the end of the year. I just, again, with this middle group, it was so nitpicky. To me, they're just, something just doesn't feel right going on around that team, and I could see it kind of imploding.
Okay, so I had them as my 6th seed, and you had them as your 7th seed. So have we arrived at the New Orleans Pelicans for you yet?
Yes and no. I actually have the New Orleans Pelicans in a two-way tie as for 5th, not knowing how it's going to break. But so, yeah,
with the Dallas Mavericks.
We could, no.
No.
Dallas, I don't remember.
Oh, wow. So you have, okay, so my next team, my 5 seed must be your tied with the Pelicans, the Golden State Warriors.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So Golden State basically stayed pat. They came back with the same team they had last year.
They added Sean Livingston.
It's true. They added Sean Livingston. Do you feel like he is a difference maker? Like, you think he's going to propel them anywhere? So I need to say some things here about the team. I don't see a lot of these guys getting a whole hell of a lot better than they are. I've given up on Harrison Barnes. I will say that Klay Thompson is better than I give him credit for because of his effort out there, but he's still not a superstar. And I cannot look at this team and think Andre Iguodala, who's starting to slip already, and Andrew Bogut is injured all the time. I just, with those two guys being such key pieces to this team being what it is, I don't see them being able to take the next step to where I'm like, this is a team that I need to be considering as a lock. Because you could easily lose Bogut for most of the season, lose Iguodala for part of the season. You should almost expect to lose Bogut for half the season. And just have a little bit of a downtick in their shooting percentages, and suddenly this team is an 8 seed.
Yeah, I mean, that was my argument last year. And, I mean, they were struggling. They won a couple games at the end. But there was a period there where it looked like they definitely weren't going to reach 50 wins, and maybe even the playoffs were teetering. I mean, my bigger thing is Steph Curry. He's given them 78 games each of the last 2 years. Maybe the ankle issues are behind him and he never has to worry about that again. But I think this team is so dependent on him that I wonder what happens if, you know, if he goes down again. Like you said, Iguodala is kind of regressing. And again, to me, like I said in other team previews, you got to look at the coaching when things are so close. We have no idea who Steve Kerr is a coach. I mean, he is my favorite podcast guest. I think he's a brilliant basketball mind. But, you know, they lost a guy in Mark Jackson who I didn't think was a good coach, X's and O's wise. But, you know, the guys really believed in him. We don't know what we're going to get from Steve Kerr. I mean, maybe he buries Draymond Green on the bench in favor of more exciting guys like Barnes. You know, and Draymond Green's a guy I love. If I were them, I would just get rid of Barnes and give Green all the three and four, you know, all the minutes at the three and the four. So, yeah, I have no clue what Steve Kerr is going to give me, so I don't know how I could have supreme confidence in them. The only reason I have them this high is because you throw around the word superstar a little lightly. I have an article coming out tomorrow in which I try to figure out if Anthony Davis is going to be the next superstar, and I come up with a criteria for what I think a superstar is. How many superstars do you think I have, according to last year? How many superstars were there in the league last year?
Well, now that you've let me know that you probably have selected very conservatively.
Yeah.
You probably said two.
No. I mean,
no.
No, I have five superstars. Five.
I would probably say more like eight, but okay.
Well, I know, but you said earlier in this that Klay Thompson isn't a superstar, as if that was a knock on him.
All right, he isn't an all-star.
There you go. I'm a philosophy teacher. I'm very careful about language. But Stephen Curry, I do have as a superstar. Last year, he was one of the five guys that I think should be deemed a superstar according to my criteria. And the only reason I have him this high is that I truly believe that if you have one of those players, that sets you apart. Houston doesn't have one of those players. You know, Portland doesn't have one of those players. The other teams that we talked about don't have one of those players. Golden State does if he stays healthy, so that's why I have him up here tied with the...
Wow, you have Curry that high in the world. So let's say you had this one season coming up, and you had to pick between taking Curry and Chris Paul. Who are you taking?
I mean, I would take Chris. I mean, Chris Paul was another superstar of the five. I would take Paul. I think a tougher question would be Curry and Westbrook because, you know, it's like to me as a coach, I don't know which one of those guys scares me more. And then in multiple, I mean, Westbrook could get you triple doubles. He could play defense when he's locked in. So I that would be the tougher question for me, Curry or Westbrook. I don't know how I'd answer it.
Okay. And you have them tied with the Pelicans, huh?
Yeah, I guess I'll give Golden State the tiebreaker for whatever reason. So, yeah, you could technically, I guess, have the Pelicans as the sixth seed in the playoffs and Golden State as the fifth for me.
Okay. All right, so Golden State is my fifth seed. Let's move on to my fourth seed. And you're probably, wondering what the hell's wrong with me now. I took the Memphis Grizzlies as my four seed.
Yeah, I got to hear this.
So, and it's just more along the lines of, I think that they made a more balanced team than they've ever had in the past. Their wing has been a gaping sore. You know, it's just been terrible. They have three guys who are all highly efficient, very skilled, and Randolph, Gasol, and Conley, and they've really had almost no support. And, I mean, it's not like they have, average guys. I guess you could call Tony Allen average, but he's been injured for a lot of the past couple seasons, so he's not giving you consistent minutes. But it's been pretty much an open sore. And they enter this season where now they have Lee, and they have Vince Carter, and Lee is actually going to have a training camp with them. And they're going to have Quincy Pondexter back, who, you know, none of us are like, oh, no, Quincy Pondexter. But suddenly you're not running out there with Tayshaun Prince who, all the time. And they got Beno Udrah as a backup point guard who can also shoot. I mean, they've added a whole dimension to their offense that while it's not going to suddenly make them go, I think they were 16th or 17th last year, they're not going top 10, but they're good enough. And I think their center is, their defense is still going to remain elite. I just feel like they're going to be the most consistent team. I don't see any way that Zach Randolph is suddenly not going to be able to do what he's always been doing because Zach Randolph never relied on athleticism. The dude's just a physically strong beast who has a million different ways of shooting over you. And the same is true with With Gasol, he's just highly skilled. And so with Conley as the motor, and I love Mike Conley, I just don't see this team as having as many question marks for me as those other teams did. So I put them as the four seed. But I'll also be honest, I could see them as like a four seed winning, you know, beating the fifth seed by one game or a tiebreaker. So,
yeah, I mean, this is a team that I don't think was nearly as good as their record said last year. I mean, they finished 50-32, but according to, I mean, they basically were plus 1.5. So they had an expected win loss of 46-36. That should have been their record. If you play that season 100 times, that's probably their average record is a 46 team win team, which wouldn't have made the playoffs. So I'm not really thinking about them as a team that is dropping out of the playoffs as much as one that was lucky to get in last year. Zach Randolph played 79 games. While I agree when he's on the court, I don't see a huge drop off, maybe a slight one. I don't think he's on the court as much this year as he was last year. I agree. I love Mike Conley too. I think if Drew gives you a healthy season, that is Drew Holiday's best current NBA comparison. And according to NBA rank, Mike Conley was just ranked 31st in the league. So that gives you an idea of where I would put Drew if healthy. But yeah, I mean, theoretically they have new dimensions, but how much are those guys going to touch the ball and how much are they going to affect the way teams play them? I don't know. I don't think this was a real playoff team last year. I think they match up against some teams well and some teams really horribly. I think that we think higher of them because they've gotten Oklahoma City the last couple of years, and that's a really great matchup for them specifically. But I think it's about time where, again, they're a team that win a lot of 96 to 93 games. All you've got to do is miss one more shot and the other team make one more shot, and those games turn into losses. And I see them teetering more that way. Other teams are getting better. I see them falling out of the playoffs. So this is, I think this one is the biggest variance between you and I.
So now let's get real here. The real reason you think that they're not going to be that good of a team this year is because Nick Calathes is going to miss 14 games because of a drug suspension.
And I mean, that in all seriousness though, they really did him wrong. And I think stuff like I'm telling you, I think there's some weird things going on in their locker room and their front office. Calathes had a huge offer overseas that he wanted to take that would have paid him a lot more money. Memphis could have easily let him out, and they said no, and he's making just a fraction of the money he would have made over there, and they don't even really have a role for him. And I think stuff like that, I think the front office coaching animosity, like that stuff boils over. And like I said, I don't think this was a really great playoff team last year, all that combined, and they're my most likely team in the West to drop out of the playoffs.
Okay. So I knew it was Nick Calathes all along, or however you say his name. Calathes? Calathes. That's what I said, Calathes. All right. So we've gotten through to our top three, our big three. I'm going to rattle off the order I think they're going to finish in. I think that the best record in the Western Conference this year will be the Los Angeles Clippers. I think San Antonio will be second, and Oklahoma City will be third. Do you have any difference of opinion in there?
I have San Antonio and the Clippers switched. I have San Antonio 1, Clippers 2.
And I had a little bit of back and forth on that, but I think the Clippers have more motivation record-wise. I think they're trying to prove something still. And San Antonio is long past trying to prove anything. They're just out there to kick your butt and go home and be happy they did it. They're not there to try to hit some sort of, I need to get 60 wins or whatever. And I bet the Clippers are actually in their, you know, sitting there, we need to prove to this league that we're the best team in the Western Conference. And I think that they will actually work harder during the regular season. Their stars will get more minutes and pop at different points in the season, just like he did last year. He's just going to rest people and probably, I would bet, more than he did last year, provided the league office doesn't yell at him for resting his star, all of his stars in the same game and fine him lots of money. So I think the Clippers will probably end up with a better record. I don't think they'll be the best team. I don't think they'll come out of the Western Conference. I would rather pick San Antonio or OKC than the Clippers. So that's my take. What do you think? I mean, OKC is the Durant injury that has them third for me. If they were healthy, I would have them at the top.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I mean, all the things you said about San Antonio, that's what they do every year, and they still win 60. I don't, you know, like if I race a fourth grader and he's trying his hardest and I'm just kind of coasting, I'm still going to beat him. Like, that's great. People could try as hard as they want. The Clippers were trying dang hard last year. Everybody was trying hard last year. And, you know, the San Antonio was resting guys. They still got 62 wins. Like, they're bringing back the same guys. They're going to, you know, Kawhi's going to be playing for a new contract. I don't care how hard anybody else is trying and what strategies Pop implores. The team still just goes out and beats everybody, no matter how hard other teams try compared to them. So, I got the Clippers second. I think San Antonio keeps on going. The Clippers, I guess I'm a little worried about some of their depth. I mean, first of all, Chris Paul has Jordan Farmer behind him now instead of Darren Collison. And, you know, Paul has missed games the last couple of years.
I'd rather have Farmer.
Really?
I really would. Yeah, I'd rather have Farmer.
Wow, that's okay. You know, the small forward position is just, again, a collection of, I mean, it's how different really is it from our small forward position? I mean, Matt Barnes is a real NBA player, but are we so sure that guys like Ingles, CDR, and Reggie Bullock are that different from Babbitt, Darius Miller, John Salt? I mean, you know, there's still some question marks there.
Yes, I would trade every small forward we have for Matt Barnes.
Okay, but I said the ones after that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you can compare a position that has no legitimate starting player at all to one that has at least average.
Tyreke Evans is going to be our starter. And then, again, the backup bigs, their big acquisition was Spencer Hawes, which – you know, I think this is the curse of Chris Paul, and the Hornets did it too. It's that on paper, what you want to do is surround him with catch and shoot guys. And that works for the entire season. And then you get in the playoffs and literally nobody else could create a shot. And the other team centers their whole defense around, you know, stopping Chris Paul from getting other shots. And he goes home early every single year. And it's just Spencer Hawes is another one of those guys. Can't create his own shot, but theoretically a good, you know, catch and shoot guy for Paul to help spread the court. I don't think that was the right move to make. I think they'll get off to a fast start with the new owner and all the Sterling stuff behind them, but I don't care how hard they try. They're just simply not as good as the Spurs over the course of the regular season, especially when injuries start to hit.
Yeah, I mean, my take on the Clippers is their offense is going to be amazing, but I fully expect they'll be the number one offense in the league this year. Hawes will help that. Their offense is going to be great, and they're going to hit the playoffs, and their defense is going to be mediocre. And other teams, I mean, the way you stop a Chris Paul team is you just stay home on everybody around him and let him try to do what he has to. And he'll carry them to a couple wins. We saw that a bunch of times. But he's not going to carry you to a championship or to later rounds very easily. So it's really all focused. I mean, it's all got to be Blake Griffin and what he can do for this team. And I think Blake Griffin's a really good basketball player. I just don't know if he's enough.
Yeah, I mean, so you said that OKC would have been one, but the Durant injury changed it. But honestly, that's an injury at the beginning of the year. Like, other teams are going to have injuries. We just don't know them yet.
Yeah, it's just the severity of what it – I mean, like, if you told me guaranteed that Blake Griffin was missing 20 games, I wouldn't have them the top because you can't lose your bet one of your – well, in this case of OKC, your best player for a month and a half and not have it reduce your wins. You just can't.
Right. And I mean, DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin missed a grand total of two games combined last year. I mean, looking at their depth chart again, Hawes could step in and their offense would be fine if Jordan went down. But, man, that defense would be super shaky if Griffin goes down. I don't know what they do there. I think they would probably go with a stretch four like Turkoglu or maybe play Hawes there. But, I mean, we know the Durant injury now. An injury happens to this Clippers team. Unlike we've seen San Antonio can motor through injuries in the past and even sit guys. I don't think the Clippers can. So that's the differentiator for me. But to me, I mean, these teams will be at the top. Wouldn't you say that Oklahoma City has the highest upside of all these teams, not just in the regular season, but overall? I mean, isn't this if you had to pick a team to take the crown off of San Antonio, wouldn't it have to be Oklahoma City? What don't you like about, okay, let's go back in time and assume Durant's healthy. What don't you like about Oklahoma City?
Their coach.
Oh, the easy answer. All right.
I mean, it is an easy answer, but I mean, he plays players that he shouldn't be playing a lot of the time. And I mean, I don't see a lot of guys on this team who are going to step up and like, you know, if you think of every major champion who was built around a couple stars or even like three big names, they all had like another guy who won a game for them. Just one game. Like Mike Miller drilling threes like crazy, or Ray Allen, or Robert Horry, or Derek Fisher. You can like go through all those championship teams and be like, there was a fourth guy who just had to get hot one game and help them win that one game, and that's all it took. The other three guys could carry them the rest of the way.
And they had that in playoff games last year, and Reggie Jackson did that last year.
I'm not sure if I buy Reggie Jackson, though. I'm not sure I buy it.
How about, I mean, I didn't like this guy coming out of the draft, but I think that we got to admit when we were wrong and change our...
Steve Adams?
I believe Steve Adams is a huge upgrade over Perkins, and he could even finish the season. I wouldn't be surprised if he was a top 12 to 14 center by the end of the season.
Yeah, it could be. I just don't know how he's going to react to real game pressure. So, I mean, I'll agree with you, and I'll say that OKC is the most likely team. I don't right now. There is not a ceiling higher than for Durant and Westbrook. Their peak. Ibaka, I don't think, is going to get better than what he is now. So, really, you've got to just have that for another guy on this team show a lot more that will help them. I don't know. Maybe Steve Adams could be that. I don't think Reggie Jackson is that. And I know Jeremy Lamb isn't that.
I'm pretty sure
Morrow isn't that.
What about how much would this finishing five lineup scare you? Reggie Jackson, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Morrow, Kevin Durant, and Serge Ibaka.
That's a pretty terrifying group. It's terrifying. But I also seen San Antonio take apart team after team, playing 28 minutes a game to their best players. And if they're suddenly going to come up against Oklahoma City and throw their best guys out there for 38 minutes, I'm not sure that the ceiling's higher in OKC anymore.
Yeah, I mean, OKC did, I mean, of all the teams in last year's playoffs, OKC gave San Antonio I don't really buy the Dallas series. I think San Antonio was coasting, but they weren't by the time they got to the finals. And once OKC got Ibaka back, I mean, they're still a tough matchup. I think depending, I agree. It depends on how Scott Brooks uses guys. Like that lineup I just put out there, does he have the guts to put it on the court? Because if he does, it could be devastating. Or is he going to go, you know, more conventional? Is he going to want Collison out there? Is he going to put Perkins out there when, you know, the playoffs come? What is he going to do? And that's the other thing. Do they make a move? Perkins is finally an expiring contract. Do they package him, Lamb, and Perry Jones together to get something? Or maybe even flip Reggie Jackson before they got to give him a contract and really get, you know, another nice player next to their trio. I think that's one thing that we're not really factoring in that, you know, it is going to happen. Some of these rosters are going to be different, and you got to try to guess looking at the ones that have the most flexibility. Oklahoma City has an expiring contract coupled with a couple of young pieces that they could include in the deal if the right guy comes available. It could be interesting. I think when you consider all of that, they have the highest upside, but the Durant thing was just such a huge blow. And I know it initially it said 6 to 8 weeks, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's a 10-week injury.
And that's actually pretty frequent. Like that particular injury frequently, you'll notice if you go look on ESPN, it says he'll be reevaluated in 6 weeks. The reason why they do that is because frequently it doesn't heal. They do the surgery, they put everything together, but it doesn't mend itself. So they have to do another surgery, and then it mends itself. So it could be a more long-term thing. But should I be hopeful for that? Do I want the OKC to fall apart so that the Pelicans can zoom to the top? Am I being too optimistic now? I think I'm being too optimistic.
I want to see some Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Western Conference Finals before KD goes back to Washington. So, I guess my last question is, Pelicans, we got them making the playoffs. Let's assume they're in the back end. Of these three teams, whether it's because you want them to win or just, you know, a good series or some other reason, of these three teams, who would you most want to see the Pelicans get in the first round?
Clippers.
Why is that?
I love Blake Griffin versus Anthony Davis. I love it. And it's not even that Anthony Davis regularly beats Blake Griffin, because I don't think he does. I think Blake Griffin, I mean, he's got his moments where he can't take Anthony Davis one-on-one very well, but he's so clever at getting out on the break and finding other ways to score that it makes it a really interesting battle between the two of them, because it becomes power versus freak athleticism, which is probably like the one person you could say that about Blake Griffin, where he's all power without, and he's not the freak athleticism, because typically he's the freak athleticism. It's just like, it's such a nice matchup. And then I'll say any game that we beat Chris Paul in just makes my day a little brighter.
Yeah.
Like, I still like Chris Paul, but I do want him to be beat. I want to beat him. So.
Yeah, I think that would probably be the most likely pick. I mean, I also would like to go against San Antonio, just kind of a changing of the guards type thing. Obviously, the Pelicans probably wouldn't take him down this year, but just to be up close and be in a series with the team that you're going to try to emulate over the next 10 years or so. I think there would be some value in that. So, you know, I think that would be interesting. Obviously, Oklahoma City would be interesting to have arguably at that point the second and third best players and the guys shooting for LeBron's mantle going head-to-head. So I think if the Pelicans get into the playoffs, get any of those three teams, even though we probably wouldn't expect to win the series, it would be a joy to watch.
Yep. So there we have it. Michael thinks that they're a 4 or 5 seed. I think they're a 7 seed. That's going to be a great season any way we slice it. So thanks for listening to our extra long podcast. We'll be back again when the season's about to start.
Introducing Guinness Nitro Cold Brew Coffee Beer, blending the smooth, creamy nitro taste of Guinness with hints of coffee, chocolate, and caramel. Guinness Nitro Cold Brew Coffee Beer, your new favorite part of the day. Look for it where Guinness is sold. Must be 21 and over to purchase. Please enjoy responsibly. Diageo Beer Company, New York, New York.